chapter 29 of the book of Proverbs, and the 25th verse. Verse 25 reads, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege that thou hast given us this morning. And as we look into your precious words, may you reveal unto us the very truth of your words, that it may be embedded in our mind and also in our hearts, and then revealed in our lives of the wonderful, sweet fellowship of God's word. Help us to understand, and help us not to fear men, the thoughts of men, the philosophy of men, but give us the strength and the courage to trust in you. Lord Jesus, thank you for your wonderful grace and mercy upon Calvary's cross for our wretched soul. Thank you once again, and lead and guide us even as we study your precious word. For I ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Solomon wrote this, as most of you knew. But you know, many times people ask me, the fellow who wrote this, you know, he had so many wives. What happened, you know? I say, I don't know what happened, you know, because you know, it's because of why he had so many wives that, you know, the word of God says turn his heart away. But you know, it's not the main thing was not the fault of his wives, though, you know, God has always wanted us to one man, one woman, monogamous, monogamous, you know, one man, one woman. But he had, I don't know how many, you know, more than 1,000, I think. But because he was turned away, but before he was turned away and misdirect, you know, he had wrote many, many things, and he had experienced many, many things. And God have given him wisdom that is beyond any man's ability. He was such a man. The wisdom of God was upon him. And when he wrote this thing here, you can see that it was very simple. He said, "The fear of men bringeth a snare." Fear always bringeth a snare. That means it sets a trap. That means it will destroy. It will never build. Fear is always like that. I had many, many fears. You know, when I first, I recall, you know, there are many, many instances in which I have much fear. But as I recall, the first time I was most fearful was when I went to Bible college. You know, I was sent to go to Bible college, and it was in California, just like where my daughter is now, in Los Angeles. I didn't go to Hollywood, but, you know, I went to San Dimas. At that time, the school was Pacific Coast Baptist Bible College. I was recommended to go there, you know, and I was supported to go there. Bought me the ticket, you know, and paid my first semester. And I went there. And after, in the middle of my first semester, I was told that, you know, from home, they can't support me anymore. Because I have gone wayward. I didn't understand why. You know, I was in the wrong school. I was studying the wrong thing. And there was a lot of commotion in the school too concerning the scriptures. And so, you know, I was very scared. You know, though I was of age, older, but yet I was still very scared, because there I was in the land, and I got no money. And I got cut off. And it was in the middle of the semester. So I prayed and asked God to help me. I was really fear. I mean, no sweat comes out even, you know. It was really fear. And it was coming to December. And everything was going to be over. And I was praying that God would help me, you know. And then God sent one fella, you know. He was a funny fella. He's ex-hippie, you know. And he was an older fella too. Very nice fella. Terrence Crabb. And he come and one day we get to know each other in classes and he asked me, "Hey, Brother E, would you like to follow me?" I said, "Go where?" He says, "I'm going to Minnesota." "Where's that?" He says, "Right in the middle, Midwest." And I was thinking, you know, why not? Huh? I got no money. I got no place to go. This is the end of my semester coming. The only thing that I have to keep me warm was a raincoat. You know, I told him, "Hey, Terry, I got only one raincoat. How can I go?" He says, "Don't worry, my Toyota Cruiser will help us." Now, Toyota Cruiser in those days was not like this, you know. Not the nice cruiser here. There was no heater. There was no aircon, no heater. It was those kind, you know, four-wheel drive, all metal. No padding, no nothing. And I said, "Let's pray." So every time we go down to the chapel and pray and pray. And the time came, you know, he said, "Let's go." I said, "Okay." I packed my things, I put it on, and I received a call from Wisconsin. It was the president of the school said, "Eddie, I heard there's a Singaporean here and told me that you are in a fix." I said, "Yeah, how did you know?" He said, "There's a Singaporean girl here. He goes to school, Maranatha Baptist Bible College. And he says, you are in a fix and we can help you. But you have to come here yourself. And we don't promise you anything except peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's all. And a warm place." So I said, "Okay, I'll come." And this fella, Terry, was going that direction. And I thought, wow, this was very nice, you know. It'll be a good, nice place to go. I did not know it. It was terrible. Every step was very fearful. We traveled all the way up towards the Canadian border, up into Montana, right in the dead of winter. Many times the car just wanted to go over the cliff. We go backwards many, many times because icy roads and all. We only survive on milk, which always is frozen, and bread. That's all we had. And it was below zero, and sometimes you go up the mountains. You know, I was wondering, I'm surely going to die. You know? But I didn't want to die because it's not the good way to die, you know. I hardly started, you know. And, but I pray and Terry pray and we went. And finally, make a long story short, we end up in Minnesota, you know, in the dead of winter, frozen. I took about 4 days, I slept, freeze to defrost. In a house that belonged to a friend who welcomed us in and just took care of us. You know, my friend, that was one of my greatest fear in the early days. I didn't know what would happen. But, you know, the Bible says, "He who fears man is in great danger, and he who trusts in God is in no danger of any sort." You see, the antidote for fear of men is trust in God. It's as simple as that. I don't have to go for hours and hours because I have until 12 o'clock, right? Pastor, you see, Pastor said 12 o'clock, quit. Otherwise everybody walk up and that's it. And some of you look very comfortable. Yeah, especially Barry. Barry's very comfortable. I look at you. Don't go to sleep on me, Barry. You know, this is the common evil that all of us fear. And this is the fear of men, because we fear what man thinks. We fear what man does. We fear the things of this world. Because this fear always leads us even to greater sins. Aaron, you remember? Fear God. But then because of the popular clamor of men, the Israelites pressed on him, he decided to build a calf, a golden calf, so that they can worship. That was the wrong thing. That was a great sin, because it divert the Israelites to adultery, idolatry, and all the things of this world. Remember the King Saul, he cared more for the honor of men among his people. And so he did not please God. He did the wrong thing. Pontius Pilate, remember him? Because of Caesar, and he fears the power of Caesar, he violated his own conscience, which told him not to do it. He said everything else. He said, no, this man is innocent. This man is not guilty of any sin, referring to Jesus Christ. But yet he did it because of the fear of men. Even the Apostle Peter, if you remember him, he was fearful of men, because that little maiden is going to tell on him. That little maiden is going to say, I know, I've seen him. He's with the Messiah. He's with the apostles. He's with these people, the way, the truth, and the life people. And Peter was very afraid. So he denied the Lord. And the Bible tells us, as soon as he denied the Lord 3 times, he started to weep and he cried incessantly, because he knew it was sin. It was wrong. The fear makes men do greater sins in life. It keeps many from conversion. You know, there are many people that sit very comfortably, just like this auditorium. Yeah? And you have no reason not to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. You listen to the truth, you got good preaching, you got good fellowship, you got good company, you got everything going for you, but yet you did not trust in the Lord. Tomorrow, you say, tomorrow, then I trust. Some of you young people, you trust in your education, you trust in your ability to think intelligently, you trust in technology. You know, those things are good. But we need to trust in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people, you know, in their heart, they don't want to go to hell. But yet, they are going there. Because they would not come and trust in the Lord. Because they think that maybe their friends, their family, their so and so forth is going to persecute them or persecute them, you know. So they say no. Simple thing like that. They say no. Fear keeps men from not only from conversion, but prevents them also from avowing their faith. You know, we cannot go to heaven through a back door. There's no such thing. You do not go to heaven through a back door. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's no back door. you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have trust in Him, you need to come out and tell others of Jesus Christ. You need to tell others of the truth. My friend, sometimes that fear lowers the dignity of good men. Remember Abraham? Abraham was a good man. He was the only one in the Bible that tells us that he was a friend of God. What did Abraham do that was not good, that was sin? He told a big lie. Not a white lie, a big lie. Because why? Because he trusted in man. At that point of time, he trusted in customs. Man. Why? In those days when you travel, just like Abraham traveled on the desert, in the desert, in the wilderness, over the Silk Route or whatever route they have, and there are many robbers, thieves, and terrible people. They would come, rob, rampage, and very often when they come and they attack the caravan and they see beautiful women, they will take them. You see? They will take them. Just like they did with Abraham and saw Sarah, and Sarah was a fair lady, was beautiful, and they won Sarah. But what bad things did Abraham do? Perhaps when we read, we think it's not that bad. Abraham said, "That's my sister." You see, that's the custom, that's the methodology. They have a two identity thing that they use when they are traveling. If I get caught and they want my wife, I say that's my sister, so that they will take her away. If I say that was my wife, they will kill me and take her away. See? So that is their backup plan. They always use that. Everybody use that. Like us also, we always have backup plan. You know? But the backup plan is not always good. Sometimes the backup plan backfires really bad. Abraham was a friend of God, and he had been walking with God all this while, and he had been listening to the voice of God, and you think that Abraham, such a man, would not do such a thing because he's a great man, a man of great faith? Well, he did the same. He trusted in man, man's method, man's way, you see. When the Bible says the fear of man, doesn't mean fear the person, you know, but will always want to use the things that are from this world, not trust in God. When you trust in God, you use God's method. A long time ago, when there was a preacher who tells me right in my face, he said, "You know, you can do God's work. Any method can work. Even the devil's method can work." I was a very young Christian, you know, I got shock of my life. How can you use the devil's method to do God's work? God don't need assistance from the devil. Yeah? The devil has enough assistance. He don't need some more of God's servant to go in cahoots with him. If you want to do God's work, then you must use God's method. There's no other way. There's no other way. Abraham decided to trust in the old method, the old strategy, and he denied Sarah. He says, "That's my sister." Why did Abraham do that? Because Abraham didn't want to die. Of course, Abraham didn't want to die. I also didn't want to die. See, I'm not a stupid person. You know, I want to live. But not at that kind of cost, where I do not trust God. God had delivered him time and time again, just like he delivered each and every one of us. But we always forget the very hand that feed us. Instead, many times we bite the very hand that feed us by not trusting in him. it hinders many duties of true courage. Jonah was called to Nineveh to preach because the people would repent and God say so, but he did not want to go because he did not want to be called a false prophet, because he was more caring for the thoughts and opinions of men. He cared for more for himself than of God. You know, when you read the book of Galatians, it tells us that the Galatians preachers, many of them decided to preach another gospel. Many of them decided to go away from the truth. Why? The main reason was the fear of men. They wanted to be accepted. They don't want to be rejected. They wanted to be considered intelligent people. They are more concerned for their status, their philosophical status, their intellectuality, their name, their reputation, more than telling what is true. And so they begin to preach another thing. Not saved by faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but by works and so forth. You see, my friend, this is the common thing that happens to every one of us. Even as I speak to you this morning, you fear. When we went to the field the first time in 1997, I fear. And I took my whole family. There were seven of us, and they were all small, you know, kids. The youngest was still feeding on mama's milk. Hannah was the oldest. And we went to the field. And that first night when they were sleeping there on the floor, and you know, there was only a cement floor there, and we put a rug of some sort, and then they all sleep in the center. And there was one fan in that room, happened to be a very old fan. Australian missionary have installed that. So we turned it on, and it was blowing away because there were many, many mosquitoes, you know, and you know, that's the headquarters of malaria and everything else. You know, if you want to know anything and everything about malaria and mosquitoes, come to Papua. Come to Irian Jaya. You will be able to be entertained. And I look at them, and they were sleeping soundly, didn't know anything, you know. And that's good. Wonderful things about children and a wife that can sleep, you know, just drop the head when needs sleep. Because they don't know anything. And I walk around at night just looking. You know, the fear in me, what have I done? You know, bring them from that place to no man's land, what have I done? You know, you cannot cry because you're the man, see? When you cry, the rest will follow you. So, you cannot cry. You wait until midnight, everybody's sleeping, then you start crying. Because you're the man, see? I cried to the Lord because I knew that, you know, for the years that we have served prior to it, the best person and the only person that understands you and will answer you is the Lord. If He used other people, that's also through Him. Don't go to man because you always feel obligated. They will make you feel obligated. They will make you feel, I owe you something. But if you go to God and trust in Him alone, He will find the people to come and help you. And if He can't find people, He will send angels. I pray, give me strength. I don't know how and where, how. Just give me strength. 18 years, God never failed. You need to trust. There's no other way but to trust in Him. This is the only and most precious safeguard that you can ever have. Whoso putteth his trust in God, in the Lord, shall be saved. Only like childlike faith in the Lord will be the protection of the believer. Trusting man is safe. The trusting man is safe from the fear of man. When God is with us, we are strong. We need not fear. We prepare for the worst. But yet, as we prepare for the worst, fear will vanish. Romans 8:31 tells us that God being with us, our safety is perfect, continuous, and assured, even though the whole human race is against us. But God is with us wherever we go. We cry and cry and weep, never mind. You know, men don't care. But God collects all the teardrops and He put it in His little bottle there and He remembers. He remembers us. And when the time comes, He always opens up and He says, I remember. It's all not a waste. Everything is for a purpose. You know, 3/4 of a Christian life is sufferings. Now, don't scare you, okay? Don't let me scare you and you say, oh, I don't want to be a Christian. No. But the sufferings is always together with the blessings. But the sufferings is not to tear down, but to build up, to make you strong. How can you be an athlete, a strong athlete, a proficient athlete, like Paul says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2? How can you be that reach that proficiency if there's no training? Yeah? If there's no pain, like the world say, there's no gain. But this pain is not the sufferings that is pointless. But this sufferings is to build you up. Build you up. You say, oh, Brother E, only you can go to that kind of place. Huh? Only you. We'll pray for you. It's very encouraging, you know. You pray for you. You go. We'll pray for you. Pray in the comforts of your home. When God is tugging at your heart and say, hey, I want you. Can we, like Isaiah said, here my Lord, send Moses? No. Hear my Lord. I'm here within the sound of your voice. I'm here within the call of your voice. You're speaking. Send me. Sing the song. Hear my Lord, send me. Sing it long enough, you'll believe it. It's so wonderful that we can put our trust in God, because it is the safest place on the face of this earth and in the universe. Safe from the damning and conquering power of sin. Let's trust in God. That's why we can say today, if I die, I know I'll be in heaven. That's why I can say today, I don't have to sin. The power of sin is not over me. I can choose not to do that which is wrong. Don't say, I have no choice. You have a choice, and you made that choice. Don't blame God for it. He gives you the opportunity. He gives you the power. He gives you the strength. He gives you the facility to do that which is right. Trusting God is safe from the overcoming force of temptation. You say, oh well, I did the wrong thing, you know. They leave me no choice. No, you made that choice. If you do the wrong thing, if you sin, it's because you sin, not because you have no choice. God gave you a choice. God gave you the facility, the power, the ability, but we chose not to. If today you die and you go to hell, it's you made that choice. Jesus Christ has died on the cross, shed His blood for our sins. He has paid fully, full redemption. And you can sit there, day after day, week after week, year after year, just like what I did before. But you know, sometimes we have a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. But some of those people that I think of and I've seen in Irian Jaya, it's as if they never ever had a chance at all. Because nobody wants to go. Nobody wants to tell them. Too difficult. There are so many missionaries there at one time. From various organizations. Flying, missionaries, aviation, translators, and so forth. They're all spread thin all across the island. You know. But I have never seen any independent Baptist come and do something worthwhile. We shall be saved from the destroying power of Satan, from sorrow, from death, hell, and everything evil, if we trust in the Lord. We shall be saved from all injury which man can inflict. I'm not saying that you don't have any problems. I don't say you don't have any health issues. You have. You will. Always do. But what I'm saying is what God has said here. You trust in Him, and He gives you the ability and facility to overcome it. That's the assurance that God has given each and every one of us. Break the snare in which fear has entangled you, and enter the palace of safety by the door of trust. Trust in the Lord. That's how it is, my friend. It's not only Brother E's got to trust the Lord. You who work here, sit here, take care of your family, you need to trust in the Lord. Just the same. Sometimes I look at you all, I kind of pity you all. It's strange, huh? You think it'd be the other way around. But sometimes I do. Because sometimes I see you all so stressed up, you know, you think here, think there, how to make the ends meet, how to, you know, think of how to go where to enjoy and this and that, you know. And then your children and all. The stress is there. So much. You know, like a chicken without a head, you know, just running all over the place. Sometimes I think every one of you need to go to Irian Jaya. Maybe God will open your eyes and open your heart. And see to yourself, I have all this, they have nothing. They can smile, they can walk around, and tomorrow they die and never heard the gospel once in their lifetime in the hole that they come from. And I have everything. And I did nothing to tell them. Faith is the armor to the soul. And clothed with it, man entered the thick battle without the fear of wounds. I hope and pray that, you know, you take these words of wisdom from Solomon, from the Word of God, and not take this as a scolding session, but a session of admonition and encouragement. You have everything and every reason to live and live gloriously trusting in the Lord. Young men, young ladies, you have no reason to do wrong. Trust in the Lord. Older folks, you have no reason not to trust the Lord. He given you everything. You got a boss, you got a company and all that. Yes. But they all eat from the same hand. God reigns on the just and also the unjust. Let us live gloriously. Singaporeans have in the past been labeled, you know, when I go to Indonesia, people always say Singaporeans terrible, like slave driver, enslave themselves also. Don't care for anybody, care for themselves only, you know. But today I see it's changing. A little bit more Singaporeans care. And I'm proud to be a Singaporean. You know, happy that when people suffer and people had problems, you know, like the tsunami and the first to arrive, Singapore. You see the small flag, huh? You're so proud, you know. People got all kinds of, you know, disaster. You see that small flag. See a few fellas right on the firing line. How wonderful if it is that we are like that for the gospel too. To go out. There are many, my friend, don't get me wrong, Christians that are doing that. But not from Baptist churches. They're all over. Even though people have not the right doctrine, but they have a very big heart. How wonderful it is if we have not only a big heart, but everything right too. And go out and reach others. Because why? Because we are not fearful of men, but because we trust in the Lord. Don't sing only. Let it flow in your life. As you take it in, pastor feed you all the time. Faithfully, I see he gives you all the food. What are you doing with it? You must use it, or else you lose it. The world is waiting to be saved. They won't come to you. You have to go out to them. May the Lord have mercy upon us as the time draws near for His second coming. Let us do it and do it now. Don't wait. Don't fear. Trust in the Lord. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time.